Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are a lot lately, we've been looking at different passages in the book of Hebrews, and we've dealt with, just kind of paint a picture and just kind of allow you to imagine in your mind what it must have been like for these first century Jews that had trusted Jesus as their Savior, what it must have been like for them to hear the different challenges and different admonitions from the writer of Hebrews, such as, like, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. And you have to understand that in the context of that, to the Jew, when they would have heard that statement, there's no doubt in my mind that they would have been blown away by that. They would have absolutely been overwhelmed to know that they now have access to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. And they were, and that writer of Hebrews was encouraging them. He was absolutely strongly suggesting to them that they come into the presence of God. And now they were growing up in a Jewish home. They would have not been taught that. They wouldn't have been taught that they could bow anywhere that they are. They could bow before their Lord and they can come to Him because of what the shed blood of Jesus did for them. You know, sometimes, and I think we must realize that, yes, it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that forgave us of our sins, but it's also the shed blood of Jesus Christ that gives us access to God. And when we come into God's presence, we're doing so because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that Jesus shed His blood, the very blood of God, like the book of Acts, tells us. So with that, I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want us to look at just a couple of verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, where did that water bottle go, Brian? Did I lose it? Did I take it and put it down there? Yeah, it's in that pew. Sorry, brother. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Thank you, bud. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want us to look at what the Apostle Paul, some of the words that he brings out to this young pastor, Timothy, this young man who Paul is a mentor to him. Paul has taught him and really kind of taught him how to be a good pastor and what to focus on and what to as far as, if you will, some first things first. And that's kind of what we're going to run in tonight, kind of the thought that we're going to run in tonight. First things first. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, now he's going to give us some thoughts on some priorities. He's going to give us some thoughts on what must be a passionate priority of ministry. And it's the matter, it's a subject matter of prayer. We go on and read in these verses that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable, look at that, and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Our Father, we love You. We pray Your blessing on the reading of Your word. And God, again, have Your will in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Prayer to a Christian absolutely is of importance. Amen. One of the things we're grateful tonight is to know to the Jackmans that we have a God that answers prayer. Amen. And praise God. And what a joy. My little man, Toby, come off and says, Dad, Miss Marsha, she got good news. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's exciting. And you know what's amazing is to know that on a regular basis, we prayed that God's will be done, that the Lord, if it be His will, would raise her up and heal her if it be His perfect will. And seemingly, that was God's perfect will. And we rejoice to know that God is a God that answers prayer. I know sometimes when we think of prayer, we think that, you know, sometimes people say, well, preacher, I just don't know. I just don't know how to talk to God. And I said this to you Sunday, that when you talk to the Lord, seriously, talk to him like he's your best friend, because that's who he is. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, yeah, but preacher, I just don't know. I mean, that's one area of my life. Maybe you're a person that would feel that you don't, you can't maybe speak very well. But understand, friend, you're not talking to somebody that's going to critique your speaking. Amen? You're talking to God that loves you. You're talking to a God that absolutely loves to hear from you. I was at a conference at First Baptist Church of Alexandria, probably, my goodness, it's probably been 20 years ago. And there was a preacher that was there, and he was an elderly preacher and had been preaching for no doubt for probably 40 years of his life. And he tells a story one time of how he had been called on the prayer, maybe at the end of his prayer. He was a pastor, and at the end of his preaching, he prayed. And after it got over with, he had a lot of teachers in his church, and he was just an old hillbilly preacher. And one of the ladies, very, very sweet lady, but she walked up to him and said, preacher, she said, I just wanted you to know that in your prayer, you had several grammatical errors in your prayer. True story. To which he looked at her and said, that's okay. He says, I wasn't talking to you anyway. Amen? I wasn't talking to you anyway. And when it comes to God, we have an opportunity through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I hope you understand that. Don't ever take for granted the opportunity that you and I have to talk to God in prayer. Why? Because it was because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you realize it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we were able to pray for Miss Marcia? It was because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we're able to pray for the Warrens tonight, who tomorrow be headed to Ohio for a funeral of a 39-year-old cousin who died of an asthma attack. And we're praying for that family, praying for their three children. The youngest is 8 years old. So when we think of prayer, I'm going to show you some things through this passage of really what it involves. You know, sometimes I say, well, preacher, I just feel that sometimes when I come to God in prayer, I'm constantly asking for things of myself. Well, we're going to show you some ways of how to pray maybe a little bit different, so that we're not always asking for things, so that we're not always asking maybe for situations of our lives and our own aspects of our life. So notice number one, notice the precedence of prayer. The precedence of prayer. Paul said, as I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and as an adverb that speaks of that which is first in time, place, order, or importance. First of all, Timothy, be a man of prayer. Pray without ceasing. He says in other books of the Bible, he said, I believe it was in the book of 1 Thessalonians, where he said, pray without ceasing. Always be in a constant attitude of prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You've heard me say over and over and over. But absolutely, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. All the pain we have, why? Because we don't take everything to God in prayer. You know, over the years, I've had people say a lot of things to me. And I've shared some of those things recently, some of the other little things that people said. I shared some Sunday night. But there's been occasions where, honest, truly, people have said to me, preacher, I pray, and I do, preacher, I give God the big things, and I try to handle the little things. Well, please understand something. God did not make you in and of your own strength to be able to handle anything apart from him. God, do you realize God has made us, literally, God has made us as his creation to be absolutely, totally dependent on him. You say, a preacher, well, why would God make us like that? So that he gets the glory. Amen. So that he gets the glory. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible declares that everything that hath breath, do what? Praise the Lord. The precedence of prayer. We call it a priority. Speaking of how we should make prayer a priority, a precedence in our life. Why is that? Well, a couple of reasons. When you think about the Lord Jesus, we see the example of our Savior. Jesus Christ, when you study his life, if you were to do a character study of the life of our Lord when he was on this earth, you will find him just absolutely over and over and over and over on a regular basis, him just stopping and praying, stopping right where he's at and just praying, talking to his Father. You see it in the book of John, you see it in the Garden of Gethsemane and areas of such as that, and you see him over and over talking to the Father. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, listen to this verse. Says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. You say, yeah, but he was God. Yeah, but ladies and gentlemen, understand something. Peter talked about how Christ left us an example. And in that example, that we should follow his steps. Of course, he's dealing and talking in the subject matter of Calvary and talking in how Jesus Christ was silent, if you will. He didn't call the legions of angels to his side. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to die. And we see the example of our Savior. There's so much more that we could do and we could talk about in the context of this. And maybe we'll take a couple of weeks and deal with the subject of prayer. But in the matter of prayer, and here's another thought, and this runs with our theme this year. In the matter of prayer, it will absolutely take you being intentional to be a man or woman of prayer. Prayer doesn't just happen. Amen? Prayer doesn't just happen. You have to make a choice to do it. You have to make a conscious effort. And I literally, some of you say, yeah, but preacher, I find myself sometimes when I bow my head for prayer, man, my mind just wanders. Well, keep praying. Amen? You just keep praying. You keep talking to God, and you keep sharing your heart with the Lord. We see the encouragement, not only the example of the Savior. We see, second of all, the encouragement of the Scriptures. Hold your place and go to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. Turn back in your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Just a few pages, really. Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to look at verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4. Let's just start in verse number 4 because it's really kind of, these are great verses. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that's a sermon in itself. Rejoice in the good times. Rejoice in the bad times. Rejoice when you're on the mountain, when you're in the valley. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The Bible is literally telling us when it says be careful, there in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, it literally means don't worry. You know, how many of you, don't raise your hand, don't want to embarrass you, how many of you have a PhD in the subject of worry? Amen? Sometimes we can worry. Sometimes us as human beings, we worry about everything. But the Bible absolutely tells us that we shouldn't worry. You say, yeah, but preacher, that's easier said than done. You're absolutely right, but it's not impossible when you understand the God that controls your life and is in control of your life. Are you aware that Jesus Christ has absolutely obligated himself to take care of you as if you're his child? He's obligated himself to do that. Aren't you grateful that he takes care of us? Aren't you grateful that he watches over? Aren't you grateful that there's absolutely nothing that can come into your life to which God has not already allowed to come through his hands? He's an amazing God. He's an amazing Savior. He's a God that you can build your life upon. He's a God that you absolutely can love and serve and honor and bring glory to in your life and through your life. Now also keep in mind, when these verses were written that we've talked about on prayer with Philippians and now back in 1 Timothy, when these verses are written, a lot of the minds that would have heard, a lot of the people, in particularly some of the Greeks who would have heard things like, you know, talking to God let your request be made known unto God, that was a very foreign thing to them. Because to a lot of the Greek mind, the God that they served was just some deity up there on the hillside, and depending on what type of a mood he was in was depending on what kind of day you were going to have. That he was some impersonal deity that really wasn't interested in you. He was just there to make your life bad if it was a bad day for him, or to bless you if it was a good day for him. So, but the Apostle Paul tells us now that the God that is Jesus Christ the Lord, he's a very personal Savior. Boy, that blew their mind. They didn't understand what it meant to have a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. That is why oftentimes I don't understand in some of the different religions today, and some of the religions that have their little saint statues and all of that. I forget who it was. It might have been Dr. Paige Patterson. I forget who the man was. He's a preacher that I know, and he went into New York or something like that and said he took a cab. And Jay Strack is his name. He works a lot with young people. But he said he got in a cab and there was a little Indian guy there or some type of ethnicity in that regard. But on his dashboard, he had a little idol. He had a little statue of his God. And he looked at it, and of course, you know, Jay Strack, being a soul winner that he is, he starts up a conversation with him and says, "Sir," he says, "oh, is that your God?" And the guy says, "Yeah, that's a statue of my God." And that guy looked at Jay Strack and he says, "Hey," he says, "do you have a God?" He says, "And do you have a statue of your God?" And Jay Strack said, "My God is bigger than this cab. My God is too big to put on your dashboard." You see, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture, and that is fascinating to me, because why would we want to hold on to some little man-made statue? And I think the Apostle Paul even addressed that when he was dealing with those Stoics and philosophers there on Mars Hill. And he says, this statue to the unknown God, he says, wait a minute, the unknown God, his name is Jesus. The unknown God that this world is looking for and longing for, he has a name, and his name is Jehovah God. It's Jesus Christ the Lord, and it's in him that we live and move and we have our being. We're not some accident of some evolutionary process. We are absolutely the divine handiwork of a loving creator God. And it is that God that, if you know Christ your Savior, it is that God that you could pray to. It's that God that you can talk to. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time we see the encouragement of Scripture? The Bible tells us literally not to worry about anything, but to be men and women of prayer and praying about everything. "Ah, preacher, I just don't have time to pray." Well, you better make time. You better make time. You better spend time with the Lord Jesus in prayer. Luke 18:1 says, "Men ought always to pray and not faint." The word faint speaks of losing heart or being discouraged. Discouragement is the companion. Listen, discouragement is the companion of prayerlessness. Discouragement is often the companion of prayerlessness. You say, "Preacher, to be honest, if I were to look at my life, if I were to look at my life as a Christian, I don't really spend a whole lot of time in prayer." Well, let me challenge you this year. Be intentional in your prayer life. Spend time with God. Spend time with the Lord Jesus in prayer. It's encouraging to know that we have men who on a regular basis will set time out on Saturday some and during the year, and they'll come out and they'll pray. They'll just get alone and they'll just get together as men after a nice breakfast, and they'll pray, and they'll take many of you men in this room, many of you folks in this room, your name has been called out by the men in the prayer breakfast. I thank God for men that do that. I thank God for men that take time out to come and to pray for loved ones, for their marriages, for their sons, for their daughters, for their spouses. Lose heart, getting discouraged. Faint speaks of losing heart or being discouraged. The lack of prayer causes spiritual emptiness. It causes spiritual weakness. 1 John 5:19. Hold your place in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 John toward the back of your Bible. 1 John 5, of course, John is writing this tremendous letter, the book of 1 John, these tremendous epistles that he writes. And in 1 John 5, here's one verse that ought to challenge us as God's people to pray like we've never had. 1 John 5:19. "And we know that we are of God. If you're born again, we know that we are of God." Amen? We know. I didn't have to have a preacher tell me I got saved. I got saved and I knew I got saved because the Holy Spirit of God came inside me and took up residence in my life. I got born again, and because of that, I have Jesus and he has me. And John says, beloved, we know that we are of God. God's in us. He's forgiven us of our sins. We're born again. But notice what he says. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, long before the newscasters in my day started telling about how bad this world is, John wrote about it in the first century. The world was bad in John's day. Let me go back a little further. The world was bad in Noah's day, 4,000 years before that. The world's always been bad because there's always been an enemy. So when Satan fell from heaven, fell to this earth, this world was absolutely plunged because of sin, and this world has always been bad. But thanks be unto God, we have a God that even though we live in the midst of this world, we're not of the world, we don't belong to this world, and we can call on God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What a tremendous God that we serve. What a tremendous blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ has absolutely told us to place a precedent on prayer. We see the practice of prayer. He uses four words back in our text of 1 Timothy to give us some practice here. He says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, that's the first word, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. There's four words that we're going to talk about. The first word is the word supplications. He uses in the practice of prayer, basically when it comes to prayer, let me break these words up a little bit to kind of, I want to get saved supplication because I want to go somewhere with it. Well, what is prayer? Well, prayer is simply put, it's the time that we spend with God. It's a time that we come before our Lord. You say, well, preacher, I pray over my meal. That's wonderful. And I'm thankful to God that you do that. You ought to be thankful for your meal. Amen? You ought to be thankful for that. Wherever you're at, if you say, well, preacher, sometimes I'm in a public place. Pray. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, maybe it offends me, but they don't pray. Amen? Pray and ask the Lord to bless it and thank God for that. Listen, do you realize tonight that there's some people in our world tonight that aren't blessed like you are to be able to eat a meal? Pray. Thank God. So he uses the word prayers. Prayer is a tremendous word. The time we spend with God. Prayer is a word that is often, literally, it's often linked with the thought of worship. You say, preacher, I never really thought of prayer as an act of worship. Sure, it's an act of worship. What is worship? Well, we gave you a definition the other night that literally worship is just ascribing honor to God alone. So when we pray, what are we doing? We're talking to God. And we're talking to God based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Prayer is first and foremost a time that Christians fellowship with God. Like a high priest, now keep it in the Jewish mind thought for a moment. Like a high priest entering into the most holy place. Stay with me. A high priest that enters into the most holy place and into the very presence of God as believers in Jesus, born again Christian people, prayer is the time that we come into God's presence to enjoy holy communion with our Lord. We see this time expressed in the words prayers. And then he uses another phrase, giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. 1 Chronicles 16:29. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, don't turn there. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Giving of thanks. In prayer, you not only praise God for who he is, but also for what he has done. It is a time to thank him for all his blessings and all the numerous things he has done in your life. The psalmist said it best in Psalm 116, verse 17. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, in our culture, I'll be honest with you though, our culture has a hard time with being thankful. Our culture does. But you know what? If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, let me give you a few thoughts tonight, some things maybe that sometimes slip our mind. The very fact that God gave you the grace to get up this morning, be thankful for that. The very fact that God gave you the grace this morning to get up and go to a job and earn a living, be thankful for that. The very fact that God gave you the grace and the ability and the joy to be able to come to a place of worship and assemble as a local New Testament church and hear the songs of Zion, exalt the name of Jesus Christ, and to be able to break the word of God and to hear the scriptures and to have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our midst, that's a lot to be thankful for. What a joy. Giving of thanks. You know, when it comes to being thankful, you have to be intentional to be thankful. It takes being intentional to be thankful. You know, we can be, if we're not careful, buddy, we can get ourselves in a mess to where we do nothing but complain and complain and complain and complain. You know what's bad about getting around complainers? Man, it just absolutely will suck the life out of you. But you know, it's great to be around people. I had a teenager one time walking. This was years ago. He come walking in the door, and he was all the time one that was stepping on his lip. You know, always all the time down, always critical, always negative. And he come in, and I grabbed him by the hand, and I was expecting him to respond the way he did, and I had a plan. And I shook his hand. I looked him right in the eye, and I said, "Hey, man," I said, "how you doing?" "Oh, I'm not doing too good. Oh, Pastor." And I squeezed the light. I said, "Hey," I said, "what do you mean you ain't doing too good?" I said, "you still saved?" "Yeah, I'm still saved." "Are you on your way to heaven when you die?" "Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven when I die." "Cheer up, brother." You say, "Pritch, you lost your mind." No, friend, think with me for a moment. This world isn't our home. Why do we let this world get us so down? It's not our home. And here's one thing I've learned about life. The things that you can't do anything about, why let them get you down? Seriously. Me and my wife often talk, and I said to her years ago, I said, "You know, the things that I can't really control, I try not, honestly, I'm not being braggadocious, but it's here in my heart. The things that I can't control and the things I can't, me and of myself, can't do anything about, I try not to worry about that kind of stuff." Why? Because it doesn't do any good to. I said to somebody not too long ago, I said, "You know what's wrong often with human beings is," I said, "literally, people, humans, sometimes we worry." Here's proven statistically. We worry about things that will often never happen. Amen? Never happen. So why worry about it? And so I don't know. Do I have to remind you of Y2K? Amen? My wife says, the year 2000, some of the kids are like, Y2K? Year 2000, the world was supposed to come to an end. And everybody was worried. Everybody was scared to death. My wife, bless her heart, she said, we better put some stuff up. I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "I filled the bathtub up in case something happens and we need drinking water." I looked at her, I said, "I ain't drinking no water out of a bathtub." You know why? Because I've taken baths in that bathtub. Amen? You say, what's the point, preacher? We worry about things, but understand, our God is in control. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, you watch the news, you watch a lot of the weather, you watch it. Man, they're all the time talking about this planet and this planet and worrying about this meteor getting too close to the United States and getting too close to it. It's going to destroy." No, it's not. God's going to take care of it. The Lord Jesus is in control. And here's what I know. From an eschatology standpoint, the study of the end times. Before the world's going to come to an end, I'm going to be raptured out. If you're born again, you're going to be raptured out. The Bible says he saves us from the wrath to come. So the time we spend with God, but then second of all, he deals with some aspects of the things we seek from God. He says in verse 1, we're almost done. He uses another word here, and we didn't go in consecutive order, but I just want to just talk about them. Notice the word supplications. First of all, supplications. The word means petition. It speaks of praying about personal needs and desires. When we have needs in our life, we can pray about it. Amen? And thank God we can. Thank God we can pray about it. Thank God we don't have to wait for once a year for a high priest, an earthly high priest, to go into the Holy of Holies and put blood on the mercy seat of God to appease God's wrath for one more year for my sins as a temporary payment for them. No, we can right then and there, we can bow our head before God. Never will forget, my daughter was born, when Ashley was born, within the first couple days of her birth. This is our first baby, and we were at Troy Beaumont Hospital. Will and Cheryl had come up there, and we had pizza all over the floor. Remember that, Will? That was Ashley, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Ashley. Will and Cheryl, they came up. I think we even snuck, no, Caleb. Yeah, Caleb was older. I think we snuck Caleb in there, too, didn't we? Yeah. So, don't tell nobody. But anyway, but here we are. We're sitting in the room, and me and Les, and man, we're so excited. Well, a nurse had come in, and she said, "I just want to check the baby out." And she starts checking Ashley, and all of a sudden, she was gone. She took Ashley. She said, "Mr. Harold," she goes, "I got to take Ashley back to the nursery." Well, I went down to the nursery, and I looked in the window. Here she is. She's only, what, I think she was 2 days old. I think she just was close to 2 days old. And so I looked through the window, and there's my little daughter, who we've been praying for, and there she lies, little bitty peanut, six pounds, 9 ounces, little bitty thing, and there's doctors all around her. And man, they're checking her, they're taking her blood, they're checking her, and all of a sudden the nurse sees me, and the nurse walks out, and she says, "Mr. Harold," she said, "your baby is suffering from seizures right now." My mom used to tell me, my grandparents used to tell me, there's no hurt like the hurt a parent has for their child. And brother, I'm telling you. And she said, "Mr. Harold, so we don't have a neonatal intensive care here at Troy." She said, "So we're going to take your baby by ambulance to Royal Oak Beaumont." And she said, "So we're going to go ahead. I've talked to the Dr. Taylor, who is Leslie's doctor." And she said, "We've put a call on Dr. Taylor. He's going to go ahead and release Leslie so that you and her could then make your way to Royal Oak Beaumont." And I remember walking out of that hospital, Dr. Dana. I literally did. And I'm not, God knows my heart in this. I walked out of that lobby, and I went to get the car to pull it up to get Les. And I was walking out of that lobby. I remember talking to God. And I said, "God, I said, I've prayed for her before I ever met her mom. When I was a teenager, I prayed that God, if the Lord ever allowed me to marry and God ever blessed me with children, that God would watch over them. And I honestly, I prayed and I just gave them back to God before I ever was even married." You see, because I believe that's the kind of God that we can talk to. We can talk to a God about things that we don't even know yet. He already knows. So I said, "Lord," I said, crying like a baby, one of the hardest prayers I ever prayed. I said, "God," I said, "she's yours." I said, "God, she's yours. Have her will in your life." I think I prayed something like, "God, please give me and Leslie grace at this time." So they pulled out, the ambulance pulled out, and I was in that little Beretta. Remember my little Beretta, Will? I was in that little bitty Beretta. And man, we took off, and I was flying. And I got to the hospital, and the nurse that was in the one of those mean nurses, I'm telling you, she looked at me. She said, "Mr. Harold," she said, "we had to slow down because you were driving crazy, coming trying to get out." I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "that's our first baby." I said, "I'm sorry if I offended you." I said, "But I'm not going to apologize for wanting to be here." He said, "Preacher, why are you telling us that story?" I'll tell you, here's why I'm telling you that story. That was a time that we had a need in our life. And I'm grateful to God that I had a Savior, and because of His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, I was able to bring my daughter before His throne and ask God to have His will in His life. Of course, we were told she would never, ever come off of seizures. She had those seizures. She didn't have any more until she's about 4 years of age. She would have a seizure. They'd last 45 minutes long. Petite mal seizure. It would scare the life out of you. We were told she would never, ever come off of seizure medication Because in order to come off of seizure medication, I'm bragging on God right now, hear my heart. In order to come off seizure medication, you had to have three things. You had to have normal child development, which that was fine. You had to have seizure-free for 2 years. And you had to have, at that time, I think they told me, you had to have normal scans. We were told that she would never come off medication because she would do good on the first two, but she would never have normal scans because there was scar tissue on the brain, and that would never go away. From 4 years of age until 13 years of age, at her 13th year, we took her in for a routine checkup. They did the test. They did all the electrodes, EEG or whatever they call that thing. And then they told us, and we went and saw a doctor, and they're like, well, we're going to start weaning her off of medication. She's seizure-free now, so we can take her off her medicine. That's been 5 years ago, and she's never had a seizure in those 5 years. Now, I about passed out riding with her. She's got her license now. I almost had a seizure today. We say, preacher, what's your point? Prayer. Prayer. You say, preacher, you think God answers your prayer? No, I don't think. I know he did. Brother Randy, you think God answers your prayer, brother? We know he did. Amen. Miss Marshall, we know he did. Why? Because he's a personal God. You know what I know about my Lord? Here's something else I know about my Lord. And I hope you'll be encouraged by this. You know what I know about my Lord? And if you're saved, he's your Lord as well. He always wants what's best for me. He always wants what's best for you. You see, the Bible tells us that it's God's will for us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. God is making you look like Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He's making us look like Jesus. He does that. One of the ways he does that is through trials. One of the ways he does that, like James talks about, like 1 Peter talks about, trying of our faith. And prayer, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely, is vital. Where are you at in your walk with God? Where are you at in your, seriously, where are you at in your walk with God? Sweet friend, he's a prayer away. He is a prayer away. Spend time with him in prayer, and you'll be surprised how God can take us as his children, and how God, just by spending time in prayer with him, being intentional and spending time in prayer with him, man, he can soften you. He can bring us all. He's done it in my life. He can bring us back in total dependence on him and total fellowship with him, and just bring us back in that sweet, 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 sweet place like he's standing right next to you. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing Savior. First things first, as God's people, we must be men and women, boys and girls of prayer, talking to our Lord. Because, ladies and gentlemen, hear my heart. It's not only a joy to pray to God, it's a wonderful opportunity to pray to him. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. We didn't get to that fourth word, I don't think, but we'll cover that next week. But the invitation is this: if you're here without Christ, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent, call upon God, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and by faith believe that Christ died, was buried, was rose again the third day. You call upon him, he'll save you. I promise you he will. Repentance and faith in God, he'll save you, he'll change you. Maybe you are saying, say, preacher, I'm saved. Haven't been really spending much time with my Lord in prayer. Getting busy doing everything else. Don't get too busy to not talk to your Savior. Amen. Don't get too busy to not talk to your Savior. Maybe like tonight, just like come to the altar and talk to him.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.